Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board and join us in the dialogue and discussion on this broadcast each and every day. Our program is designed around you, our listener. It's a Q&A-based program. We will make the discussion live and lively and interesting and challenging and real and relevant. But we ask you to join in the dialogue and discussion with your questions, your comments, and your input. And let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904, if you're out of the area code, 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, that we might entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're asking a question today, will America survive? Or perhaps we could say, can America survive? Is there an answer to the moral, ethical, spiritual decline that we see taking place in our nation today? Is there an answer? What does the Bible say about that? Where should we turn? How should we then live, as Ezekiel asked in Ezekiel 33:10? What is the answer to that? Ladies and gentlemen, I've got serious reservations as to whether or not America will be able to survive. And the rationale behind that statement is simply this. Until and unless we're willing to confess our sins before God and turn back to God and seek God's face and ask God to heal our land, we're going to continue to face the progressive judgment of God against our nation because of what we're doing and having turned our backs on God. We're now worshiping false gods. We're now worshiping self and the self-image. We're now in a quagmire of moral, ethical slime pit. Viper's pit, as one U.S. House of Representatives recently stated, and I'll read you his article someplace during the course of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We do not base our position on Let's Face the Issues on anything less than the truth book. It's the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, as he's talking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus made a statement in John 14:6. He says, I am truth. And then further he states in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that we ought to place our hopes and our lives and our admirations and ambitions and aims upon nothing less than the truth of the Word of God. You see, that's the foundation. Our founding fathers founded America on the Judeo-Christian values, the foundation that's found in the Word of God. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if our foundations are destroyed, if we lose our constitutional republic, if we lose our Bill of Rights, if we lose our right to keep and bear arms and the freedoms that we have in that Bill of Rights, the right of religious liberties, the right of free speech, if we lose those, we have lost America. And we're finding today more and more of that which takes place in the Beltway of Washington is antithetical to anything that is called biblical truth and or the constitutional republic of which we are in America. It is the truth factor. It was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's precisely, ladies and gentlemen, where we find ourselves as a nation. We are in a quagmire where truth is not valued, truth is not sought after, truth is not proclaimed, truth is not adhered to. And as a result of that, we're in a state of lackadaisical, I could care less mindset, where morals and ethics and values have simply plummeted in our great nation. A nation like the United States of America that's founded on biblical truths, and you take that foundation out, you have a nation that cannot stand. You have a nation that cannot stand. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're in that position today of flux, that it can go either way. But there is a part of me that wants to say, I believe we have passed, we've gone past the point of return, in my most humble opinion. I pray that I'm wrong. Perhaps you have other ideas and thoughts that you'd like to join this dialogue and discussion today. Feel free to do so. This is the reason I go back to the fact that the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus had such a powerful statement when he said this. May I quote? Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, as I do each and every day on Let's Face the Issues, that we need to seek the truth. And that's not found on the Communist Network News. It's not found on MSNBC or ABC or CBS, any of the dials that you, any of the places you turn your dial to. You won't find truth. Truth is found in the Word of God. And this is the reason I've said, and I challenge many, many times, that as Christians, and I pray that you are as you listen today, if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you do not sense the depth of what I'm saying. So I pray that you'll say yes to Him even today. But ladies and gentlemen, truth is the fundamental foundation of the Word of God. And if we do not stand on truth, it's an impossibility to find anything that will have any value, any eternal value, as living a life that's based on truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. What is truth? I've had people many times say, well, I hear your broadcast, and I hear what you're saying. Where do you get those things from? I listen to the news, and I don't find them. Ladies and gentlemen, I spend hours upon hours upon hours of research to find out what is happening, not by way of the Communist Network News or ABC or NBC or any of the others that are have stories that are antithetical to the truth. You know, it hadn't been, but a couple of years ago now that the Hunter Biden laptop was said to be false, fake, only Russian disinformation. And about 50 people that were former CIA, FBI, NSA, et cetera, officials in the administration and previous administrations came forward, and all of them signed off on a letter that said that Hunter Biden's laptop was fake, fictitious, nothing but Russian disinformation. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Times that stood with that story have reversed completely. They say it's real and it's relevant and it's very dangerous with what he's done, what he's gotten by with. Good illustration of listening to the news and thinking that somehow, some way, you're going to get the truth. So we need to seek the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, be able to determine what is truth and what is error. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the major things that we're finding today is there's a lack of seeking after truth. Of just listening to what the Communist Network News may say and considering that to be truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark. Some have said, how do you find that? There's a gigantic flag. I'm told the flagpole is about 165 feet in the air with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24-7 at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. But wait, ladies and gentlemen, there's some good, good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's family-friendly oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing your family, you and your family to be able to worship God as God ordained it to be so. So, ladies and gentlemen, just drop by Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Make your application for employment. Wait for an interview and see what God does in placing you there where you can worship on Sunday with your family, where you're in a Christian environment and a place where God would love to have you, would like to see you involved in so that you can be there and make a living for your family as well as knowing God, loving Him, and worshiping Him on Sunday, your day off. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today. Love to hear from you, your dialogue and discussion on the input of this broadcast today. I think it's probably one of the most pertinent broadcasts that we've done. It is, we'll be talking about things that are very, very, very real. And yet they sound, to hear them, it sounds almost antithetical to anything that America should be like. Perhaps you may recall, ladies and gentlemen, the book of Habakkuk. I know you've read that book. Habakkuk, H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K, Habakkuk. That is an Old Testament book, ladies and gentlemen. And Habakkuk in the first chapter and in the second chapter, in fact, the book of Habakkuk is written on Habakkuk's question. Habakkuk was basically saying, how long, O Lord, how long will evil continue and you'll not judge the evil? Now, God ultimately gave Habakkuk an answer that he was going to send the Assyrians in to judge them. Then Habakkuk was basically bellyaching, complaining that they're wicked people. They are anti-God, if you call it that today, people. And you're going to send them in? God, in essence, and this is Youngblood paraphrase of the statement in the scripture, God said yes. I'm going to send a nation that's more wicked than you are to come in and to bring you into captivity to get your attention because I've been trying and trying and trying to get your attention, God says. So, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you identify with the concerns of Habakkuk. When Habakkuk is saying, Lord, how long are you going to evil take place? How long will you let this immoral declension take place? How long will you let thieves continue to prevail? How long will you allow... How long will you continue to have the liars and the lunatics and the leftists rule our nation? How long, Lord, how long will you allow this to take place? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered how it seems that wicked continues to thrive and evil continues to survive, and yet the good and the godly seem to be trodden underfoot? That's basically the question that Habakkuk had, that he was asking God. And as a result of that, God gave him an answer. And God's answer was, yes, I'm going to handle it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a little parenthetical footnote here. God's not asleep. God's not on vacation. God's not impudent. God's not blind that he cannot see. God knows exactly what's taking place in America and around the globe today. And with God's knowing that, ladies and gentlemen, he's giving us a chance, my opinion, based on the theological doctrinal understanding of the scripture. God's giving us a chance. Scripture says God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So, ladies and gentlemen, God is giving time in America for us to recognize the declension, to recognize the devolution of what is taking place morally, ethically, and spiritually, that we might, before it is eternally too late, turn back to God. I believe that's what God is doing today. We're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, evil that's rampant. We're watching good continue to be trodden underfoot. And we need to consider what God is doing. Have you ever considered that America is doing and what America is doing, how America has done with that evil, immoral, wicked sin that seems to be so rampant? Have you ever wondered, ladies and gentlemen, with this vast blanket of evil that's spread over America today, why is it prevalent? Think for a moment what God is doing and what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article. Major pharmacy accused of firing a nurse over her faith in God. A charge of discrimination has been leveled against CVS Pharmacy on behalf of a nurse practitioner who for years had been granted a religious accommodation so that she would not have to prescribe abortion pills, but was refused and fired when she asked it to continue. The fight is being fought on behalf of Rosalind Strader before the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And it's being fought by First Liberty Institute law firm. Ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine? And this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just a little small open salvo as to what's taking place. We are watching today where those that are moral, ethical Christians, I call it Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we're watching where the Christians, conservatives, and patriots are being demeaned, dissed, and pushed aside as though somehow we're second-class citizens in the declension that we're in today in our great nation that was founded on biblical principles. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, that our nation has legalized, hear me, our nation has legalized murder by way of abortion. Now, I don't know if you've given that much thought. Most people do not. Most people have the philosophy, it doesn't affect me, it doesn't matter. But ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. Supreme Court, that's right, U.S. Supreme Court, in 1973, Roe v. Wade, made legal, didn't make it biblical, made legal murder by way of abortion. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, there are different figures out there, but I choose to select the figure that says about 73 million human beings have been murdered as infants in the mother's womb. And because the U.S. Supreme Court said it's legal, it does not make it logical or biblical to think that you have the right to murder a baby in the mother's womb. But ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place today. In fact, here's an article that says lawmakers now consider legalizing letting babies up to 1 month old die. Perhaps you remember the former governor of the state of Virginia toyed with that thought. I'm looking at a excerpt in this article. Former Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, a Democrat, once discussed on radio a controversial 40-week abortion bill. Quote, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother, he said, alluding to a discussion about whether or not the infant should be allowed to live or die, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is very real today when we see it's bad enough to have abortion on demand, and that's what we see. And there's one possible light at the end of the tunnel, and that is the U.S. Supreme Court today has taken that under advisement. They've listened to the pro and the cons on the issue. They have been shown facts that what we know now about the birth or the life of a baby in the womb, when life begins. We know that today more than we did in 1973 when the Supreme Court was bamboozled into believing that it was just a blob of tissue and had nothing to do with a child or a human being. So we know a whole lot more today. So I don't know what's going to happen. There are a lot of folks that are praying. The Matt Stable with the Liberty Council and others, ACLJ, the Jay Sekulow's organization, been involved in petitioning the courts and placing information before the courts to hopefully reverse Roe versus Wade. But as of now, there are states, nations, and then states in America that's entertaining letting the baby be birthed and then basically letting the baby die or euthanizing the baby. Ladies and gentlemen, that is barbaric. Our nation has legalized murder and abortion. And as a result of that, some 73 million have been destroyed in the mother's womb. I'm talking about the condition of our nation today, the moral, ethical, spiritual decline in America that causes me to ask the question based on all that we know, all that we're seeing, all that's being promulgated and pushed out of D.C. and other places today. The question is, can we survive as a nation? I'm looking at an article that to me says it all. It's a pretty lengthy article. I'm just going to read the headline and a paragraph. Title of the article, How America Morphed from a Force for Good into an Instrument of Evil. Then it starts out with a quote from Mark Twain. In this country, we have one great privilege, which they don't have in other countries. When a thing gets to be absolutely unbearable, the people can rise up and throw it off. That's the finest asset we've got, the ballot box. Mark Twain, 1905, in an interview in Boston, Massachusetts. Then this article reads, on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, we the people held a presidential election. Since that date, listen to what this writer says, since that date, many believe that we've removed a good man and replaced him with an evil one. Since the inauguration of Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. on January the 20th, 2021, we have literally seen America fundamentally transformed from a once great good nation into the world to a source of great evil promoted by domestically, promoted both domestically and overseas, end quote. And it goes on to talk about with the transitional thought here, but this transformation from good to evil did not happen overnight. In fact, it was well planned in advance. And it goes into detail about the approach that was taken in the election, the theft of the election, and what we have seen today as a result of Joseph Biden being president of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today the deterioration, the implosion of morals and ethics and values. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to get into a great deal of detail, not just about abortion, not just about the things that are taking place in the abortion industry. We're going to talk about other moral and ethical declensions in America that Joe Biden and Joe Biden's family cabal are at the head of. They're the promulgating cause because of the one world order, the global reset that Joe Biden has bought into, and his handlers are pushing him. He's cognitively depleted. He cognitively does not know what state he's in, what day it is, what time it is, any time of the day or night. And I'm saying that literally, sadly, but literally. But that's what we have as a president of the United States of America today. But ladies and gentlemen, not only do we find today legalized murder by way of abortion, but today our children are being taught every evil, vile, immoral sex act from kindergarten through high school. And just think, it's called legal. Yes, it is. Parents are mocked at. Parents are chided. Parents are threatened even by the DOJ for just challenging an Board of Education about what's being taught in our public schools, what's being taught in relationship to morals and ethics and values. And even Disney World that heretofore has called themselves family-oriented, Disney World. Here's an article that says, Disney's secret gay agenda caught on camera, dated March 29th. In a virtual meeting of Disney executives in response to Florida's controversial parents' rights bill, an executive producer for the iconic entertainment giant disclosed that her team has implemented her, listen, not at all secret gay agenda for Disney. Now hear me. This article says she and her colleagues are regularly adding queerness to the children's programming at Disney. She supports having many, and I'm reading right from the article, she supports having many, 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 many LGBTQIA characters in our stories. She said she wants a minimum of 50% of all the Disney characters to be LGBTQIA and racial minorities, end quote. A bill signed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis that prohibits public school teachers from presenting or discussing sexual content in the classes through the third grade has been characterized by the opponents as don't say gay and stifling free speech. Renault described, the lady that's at Disney, describes not having to be afraid to let's have these two characters kiss like I was, quote, just, and she stumbles for a moment, whatever I could, just basically adding queerness to the agenda for Disney. She said it was like no one would stop me. And no one's going to try to stop me, end quote. The Florida Parental Rights and Education Bill has promoted a nationwide backlash from activists on the left who regard it as an attack on gays and transgendered peaceful people. Ladies and gentlemen, you want my advice? Listen, we need to, everyone in America, we need to boycott Disney. We need to there's no point in taking your child, ladies and gentlemen, to Disney if they have an agenda, a goal of having at least 50% of their characters at Disney, 50% of the programs, the plays that's put on at Disney to emphasize the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, why take a child there to have that child introduced to garbage and filth that you will not have in your home? Why take your child there and spend $100 a piece or more for each ticket to go in that your child's going to be brainwashed into believing that, as this writer puts it, queerness is okay? Ladies and gentlemen, it's not okay. It's antithetical scripture. In fact, that sodomite lifestyle is the only sin in the Word of God that God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and all the plains round about it as a result of the sodomite lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, God's Word in Romans chapter 1, verse 28 and following, God has given them over to a reprobate mind. And yet, somehow, some way, there's the mindset with that portion of society found in the theme park of Disney, that somehow, some way, they have the right to push that on families and make it look normal and natural. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to let me hear your thoughts and opinions. 831-0917. I believe we have Glenn on the line. Glenn, go with the question or comment. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Glenn is one of our four sons. I'm thankful for his input, for his dialogue and discussion that he'll have with us today. I'm thankful for his stand on morals and ethics and values and biblical truth. Glenn, thank you so much for taking time to join us on this broadcast today.
Good morning. It seems a little overwhelming with all the things that are going on around us. It's not just one or two things a day. Now it's about 100 things a day. The society of America and the world is changing very, very quickly before our eyes now. But they took little baby steps. They added a little bit of poison all the way through the last probably century, at least the last 50 years in America, and people tolerated evil, and it got worse. And they tolerated evil, and it got worse. We are now, as a nation, embracing the immorality and the evil that God has warned us against. They say that you could slowly turn the temperature up on that frog boiling in a pot. He's not boiling at first. He's just acclimating to that temperature, but it's almost at a full boil now. And the frog's getting cooked alive. And I'm talking about American culture. The pot's boiling. There are folks that believe, apparently, that we have a different God in the New Testament than we did in the Old Testament. And this is not true. He is still a holy God of perfection, and he demands holiness. Where does the darkness go when you turn on the lights? It consumes it. God's perfection and holiness would absolutely consume us in our sin. But because of the blood of Jesus, for a Christian, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our imperfection. He sees the blood of Jesus. For those that are not covered with the blood of Jesus, the wrath is coming. It is coming, and it's coming on the entire nation. You mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was asking God if he would spare the nation if there were, I think he started at 100, then he went down to 50, then maybe 10. And quite frankly, he knew that Sodom was so corrupt that he might only get his nephew and his nephew's family out, Lot and his wife. The angels came in and were warning Lot, they've got to leave. Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. He wasn't in a big hurry. It was interesting. Lot had lived there so long that he had acclimated to the evil. Now, he started off as a shepherd with a herd of flock. And so he ended up in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But at the point where the angels literally had to take him and his wife and two daughters by the hands and drag them out of the city. And keep in mind, Lot's two daughters were married. Okay? Neither one of their husbands decided to go. They stayed. Lot's wife actually turned back to look at the destruction because she was leaving her home. She'd, you know, grown to love it, and she turned into a pillar of salt. At the Battle of Jericho, it makes you wonder. I just have to sidestep another note here. For God to pour out his wrath from heaven and consume Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, okay? What had they been doing that was so, so bad that he just consumed it all? They were so evil, wicked, and ugly that God couldn't tolerate it anymore. At Jericho, they were commanded, this is the first city that Israel was commanded to take after they crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land. And, of course, all they had to do was follow God's instruction and march around that city. And then on the last day, I believe it was the seventh day, they marched around seven times, and they're blowing the trumpets and shout. And the walls come down. Okay, we understand this story. We probably heard this story as kids. Why did God think that it was necessary for Israel to come in and completely destroy Jericho, not just the city, with the exception of Rahab and her family that provided shelter and hid the two spies that came in? Rahab made an agreement with them that she and her family would be spared. But the rest of Jericho, it says they slaughtered every man, every woman, every child, and every animal, and they weren't to take anything out of there because all those things were cursed.
Great. Glenn, hold your thought for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the top of the hour news break. It's a hard break. We'll be right back. Don't turn your dial as we continue. Let's face the issues.
Conservative.edu.